Today, Shir's in Masechta Sota on Daf Yud Ches. We will begin at the very top of the Amud. We are in the middle of six specific halachas that have to do with the Megillah Sota, and we are up to number five. The other four were learned in yesterday's Shir. Begins the Gemara, Kosval Shnei Dapin Psula. If the Megillah Sota was written, as Rashi says, like the Dafim in a Sefer Torah, which are written in Amudim, various columns, that is possible. From where do I learn it out? Because the Torah says, concerning Megillah Sota, Sefer Echad Amar Rachmana, the Kohen writes the Megillah in one Sefer, V'loi Shnayim U'Shloish Svarim, and not two or three Svarim. And finally, the sixth special halacha of Megillah Sota, Kosev Ois Achas U'Mochak Ois Achas. We know that the Kohen has to write the Megillah Sota. Then he has to erase it. What happens if he wrote one letter of the Megillah and then erased that letter? And then, because of Oisachas, he wrote the second letter, Umochak Oisachas, and then he erased that letter. And so he did throughout the Megillah. The halacha is psula dichsiv, because the Torah says concerning the Megillah Sota, v'asalo hakoyin as kol ha-Torah hazois, as Rashi explains on the third line, ad shetei kula ke'echot, that before the mechika, the erasing, takes place, the entire parsha of the Megillah Sota is written, and only then is there a mechika. If it was done in the form of writing one letter and then being meichik one letter, it would be puzzle. And now Rava has a series of questions. Boy, Rava has a question. Kosev beis Megillas l'shtei sotos. If the Kohen wrote two Megillas to two individual sotos, umochkon, and he erased them l'toch kos echad, into one kos, mahu, what is the halacha? Is this acceptable for the sotos to then drink from that combined erasure of the two Megillas? As Rashi brings down, the pasuk says, "Va'asa lo hakoyin as kol ha'Torah zois in Bamidbar Perek Hey pasuk lamed," that the Kohen should do law, and we understand that law means lishma, that it has to be done for the sake of each individual sota. So the Gemara Shaila is, Mahu Ksiva Lishma Binin. Is the Torah telling us in the words Va'asa Lo HaKoyin that the Ksiva, the writing of the Megillah Sota, has to be done one Megillah for this Sota and one Megillah for the other Sota? Va'ayika, if that is the case, is that all you required? Is that all that Va'asa Lo HaKoyin refers to, the writing? Then, in fact, we have one ksiva for one sota and one ksiva for the other sota. O Dilmar, maybe when the Torah says, v'asa lo hakoyin, the Torah means more than that. Be'inonami, we also require, mechiko lishma, that it should be erased for each individual sota. And here, the two sotos, their megillos, are being erased into one cup of water. And maybe that's not sufficient. That's not enough lishma. The ksiva lishma is not enough. The imtim tzolaymer. And if you're going to want to answer this first shiloh of Rava by saying that, of course, va'asa lo hakoyin means that being in nami mechika lishma, that you have to also erase it lishma, it's not enough ksiva lishma, and therefore where you put it together into one cup, it would not be acceptable. What happens in the following scenario? Machkon bebeis kosos, he erased them in two kosos, v'chazar ve'irvon, and then he mixed them up. In other words, initially he separated them into two separate cups. So he did the ksiva lishma for each sota, he did the mechika lishma for each sota in a separate cup, but then he mixed the two cups together. Mau, what is the din now? Do I say mechika lishma binin, that when the Torah says va'asa lo hakoyin, you need the ksiva lishma, you need the mechika lishma va'ika, I have that, because it was erased into two separate cups, or dilmor maybe, since now it's mixed up together, even though initially it was done in two separate cups, each sota is not drinking from her own cup. The imtim tzolaymer, if you're going to want to answer this question And you're going to say that it's not good. Why? Because hol avdi dog hashasya. The hol avdi dog hashasya, that each one is not drinking from her own cup, even though initially it was in the own cup, but then it was mixed together. What happens in the following case? Chazer v'cholkon, after he had put it together in separate cups. And then he had mixed them together. But then again, at the end, he divided it up again. Ma, what is the din? Do I say yesh breira or yein breira? Do I say that once it is separated at the end, it started off separated, it was mixed together, and it ended off separated? So do I say the concept of breira, which means that I could look at it retroactively, as if from the beginning it was separated, and then it would be good? Or do I say ain breira, and we cannot say that from the beginning it was separated, and therefore each sota does not have her individual cup, and therefore it will not be good? Tosfos points out that our question over here of breira is not like the usual cases that we have in Shas of breira. For example, one example he quotes from the Gemara in Bava Kama Nun Aleph Amud Beis. The Gemara in Bava Kama Perek Meruba on Daf Samach Tes Amud Beis and other places in Shas of Shnei Lugin Shani Yosad Lahafer. Somebody bought wine from a goy and he knows there was no Trumas and Mice was taken off of it. He's unable at that time to take off Trumas and Maestras, and he says that the two lugin which I will leave over at after I drink, you're not allowed to drink for something that doesn't have Trumas and Maestras taken off, but he says that whatever I'm going to leave over at the end, that will be retroactively the Trumas and Maestras that I wanted to take off from the beginning. So if I hold Yesh Breira, it's considered as if retroactively it was separated from Trumas and Maestras to begin with, and therefore he would be allowed to drink. If I say Ein Breira, then it is considered Tevel until the very end. So even if I say Breira, Tosfos points out, our case of Breira here is different, because in the case of Shnei Lugin Shani Yosad Lahafrish, the Trumas and Maestras were never separated from the beginning. It was all mixed together. The chulin and the truma and the maestras were all mixed together, and then it's left over at the end. The question is, do I say that retroactively it's considered that it was separated from the beginning? But here, it was separated in the beginning. Then it was mixed together, and then it was separated again. And certainly, we're not going to assume that what was separated at the end is precisely the way it was separated at the beginning. And therefore, l'chayra, even if I would hold always breira, but how could I say breira in this case? So Tosfos says that brings other examples where even in such a case where we're separated, mixed together, and re-separated, we will still say it. And the svara is, what the Gemara is saying is that if you hold breira, perhaps you don't have to get back to your original state, the way it was when it was initially erased into the separate cups. But rather, all you require is that each sota should have a cup which is considered her individual cup. And since at the end we are separating it, I can look at it that each sota has her own individual cup. Perhaps we can say retroactively that that's considered as if she had her own individual cup to begin with. So that's how we would use breira here, and we do find breira when something is separated, mixed together, and re-separated. And that's the Gemara Shaila. Would I say breira here or not? The Gemara ends off and says, Teiku, that this is a question that does not have an answer. And we await for Elio and Mashiach to give us the answer to this question. Continues the Gemara. Oma, boy, Rava had a question. Hishka, besiv, mahu. What happens if he gave the soita to drink in a straw? Or bishav haferes mahu, or in a tube? What is the din? What's the shaila? Do I say der shtia bekach, that this is a way, a normal way of drinking, and it's acceptable? Or ain't der shtia bekach? Or do I say that she has to drink it directly from the cup, and if she drinks it through a straw or a tube, it is not the derech of shtia, and therefore it is not acceptable? And on this, the Gemara also answers, Teiku, it is an unresolved question. Toisus in the third bottom, Toisus Divrei HaMaskil Boy Rava, points out that we have a Gemara in Psachim of Kuf Tazvav Amud Beis in Perek Arvi Psachim that says by matzah korchem besiv af yedei matzah lo yotze. If one eats matzah and the matzah is surrounded as he's swallowing it in straw, he is not yotze. Says Toisus, Alma ain't derech achila b'kach. That's not the way to eat. So why isn't the Gemara poshut from the halach in Arvi Psachim that this is not the way to drink either? Toisus says there's a vast difference. The Hossam, Taisus says, four lines from the bottom of the Amud, Mafsik Hasiv Bein Hamatzu Bein Beis Abliya. There, he's swallowing the matzah in a covering of this straw-like substance. The bast, as it's referred to. So there, the Gemara says, it's Taka Hefsik between the matzah touching his inside of his throat and the Beis Abliya, and therefore he's not yotze the mitzvah of matzah. He is not experiencing eating the matzah, swallowing the matzah. Mashiach came over here, she is experiencing drinking the water. It's only that the water is being brought to her throat through a tube or through the sieve. Perhaps that's not a problem. Even if I say by matzah you're not yotze, here where the Beis Abliya is feeling the mei hamorim, perhaps over here it would be considered derech shtiyah. It's only bringing it up through the tube, through the air pressure, and through the straw, through the tube, and that is called derech shtiyah. The Gemara remains with a take. Boy, Ravashi. Ravashi had a further question concerning the mei sota, nishpechu mehen. Let's say, avada lechatchila, one should drink the entire cup. However, let's say some of it got spilled. Vinishtar mehen. And some remained. Mao, what is the halacha then? Is it enough for it to drink whatever is remaining in the cup? The Gemara answers also. Teiku, this is a question that has no resolution at this time. Rab Zeira, Rav. Rab Zeira said the name of Rav. Why do you need two shuas by Saita? Because, as we mentioned in yesterday's shir, in Perek Hei Pasuk Yotes, the Pasuk begins, so there we find a shua in Pasuk Yotes. Then again in Pasuk Chaf Aleph, we find again, so why do we need these two shuois? Answers the Gemara. Achas kaidim shenimcha megillah. One is speaking about before the megillah was erased. So achas achas shenimcha, and the other is telling us a shvua after the megillah is erased. Maskiv lo Rava, ask Rava a question. You're telling me that there are two shvuas that the isha has to give. One before the mechika and one after. But if you look at the Seder of the Psukim, it is only in Pasuk Chaf Gimel, as we learned in yesterday's shir, where the Pasuk says, V'kosav es ha'ola yisha'ele l'hakoyin ba'sefer, u'mocha me'amorim. So that Pasuk where the actual Mechikas Hashem, the Mechika of Parsha Saita takes place, happens after Pasuk Yates, after Pasuk Chaf Aleph. It's in Pasuk Chaf Gimel. Tarvayu, both of these shuas, kaidim shenimcha Megillah Sivan. They're written in the Tar before the Megillah Zirai. So how could you tell me that one is before and one is after? Elam Rav, Rav gives a different teretz. If you'll notice, in Pasuk Yates, it merely says, Vishbiya Oysa HaKoyin Va'omar Aleisha. Whereas in Pasuk Chaf Aleph, it says, Vishbiya HaKoyin Aseisha Bishvuas Ha'Allah. This terminology, Shvuas Ha'Allah, is not mentioned in Pasuk Yates. And therefore, Rav says, Acha Shvuas Yeshima Allah, Va'acha Shvuas Einima Allah. One Shvuas has with it a curse, and one Shvuas does not have with it a curse. Yates has no curse, Chaf Aleph has a curse. Now the Gemara wants to know, Heichidam Shvuas Yeshima Allah, how, in fact, do you have a Shvuas that has with it a curse? Amrav Amram Amr Rav, said Rav Amram, the name of Rav. What he says, the Kohen tells the Isha, Mashbiani Alecha Shaloi Nitmeis, I'm making you swear that you did not, you were not unfaithful to your husband and live with another man, because She'im, because if Nitmeis, if you became Tomei, by having an illicit relationship, Yavoyu Beich, then this water should come into you and harm you. This is the Shvua, and this is the Allah. Amar Rava, Rava is not satisfied with this explanation. Ala l'chuda kaima v'shvua l'chuda kaima. What's happening here is that you have a shvua, swear to me that you were faithful, that you were not unfaithful, and then I want you to know that if you were unfaithful, there's going to be a curse. But the Torah says there's a shvua concerning the Ala itself. Here we only find a shvua to the woman that she wasn't unfaithful. Elam Rava, Rava says, Meshbi'ani olecha, I am making you swear, she'im nitveh meis yavoyibach, that if you in fact became tamei, the water will go in you. So there is a shvua on the Allah. Amar Ravashi says, Ravashi, you've solved one problem, and you've created a second problem. Allah ikah shvua lecha, as Rashi explains, because the Torah says, vishbi'es aisha. Now that you have formed the shvua around the curse, you have answered the question, where do we find a curse connected with the shvua? A shvua of the curse, but now you no longer have a shvua concerning the woman, that she was faithful. So you've solved one problem only to open up a different problem. Elam Ravashi, the final teretz of the Gemara, is that it is two shvuas together. Shvua number one is Mishbiyani Olech Shalonit Meis. I make a shvua on the woman that the woman did not become Tameh. And now I likewise, not because if you were Tameh like the first teretz of Rav Amram in the name of Rav, if you became Tameh, then the water should go. Because we had a problem, there was no shvua on the Allah. Now we're saying you made one shvua that you didn't become Tameh. And Ve'imnit Meis. And if you did become Tameh, there's a second shvua, Yavoyibach, that the water should enter and harm you because you were not faithful to your husband. So now we have a shvua on her, shvua hishbias aisha, and we also have pasuk chaf aleph, vishbia kohenes aisha b'shvuas ha'ala, where the shvua applies as well, not because you were unfaithful, but there is a shvua that the ala will do its work if you were not faithful. The shvua is on the isha, the shvu is also on the Allah. Begins the next Mishnah. Amahi Omeris Amen Amen. The Torah told us in the end of Pasuk Chaf Beis, as we mentioned in yesterday's Shir, the last four words, Va'amra Ha'isha Amen Amen. She says Amen twice. Amahi Omeris Amen Amen. Why is she repeating and saying Amen twice? The second bottom Torah, Divrei Maschil Al, explains to us that the word amen we find in Shas has various purposes. Let us learn the Tosfos together. Three lines in the bottom. Beperek Shlishi, the Masechta Shvuos, the Gemara there says, Kol ha'ayna amen ki'ilu moitzi shvua mipiv. Whoever answers amen, if somebody else is trying to make you swear, and you answer amen, then it's considered as if you yourself have made the shvua. So that's one purpose of Amen. Ubeperek Shvua Seidus, and there on Daf Lamed Vav we find Amen Yesh by Kabbalah. Amen also serves as accepting the terms that the other person is telling you. Yesh by Shvua, the Amen, as we saw, shows us that the person is also swearing. V'yesh by Amonis Tvorim. And Amen also means that I am agreeing that what you are saying is correct. These are the various purposes of the word Amen. So now the Gemara wants to say, how is this woman using the Amen? And it seems that she's using it twice. What is the purpose of each Amen? The Mishnah answers, Amen ala Allah. As we just learned in the Gemara before, there is a shvua on that the woman has not been unfaithful, that she has been faithful. And there is also a acceptance of the curse in case she was not faithful. So Amen al Ha'olam. There is an Amen on the curse that she accepts the terms of when the curse will go into effect. And Amen al Ha'shvua, there's also an Amen on the main Shvua, which is that she was not unfaithful. That's one understanding of the double Lashon of Amen Amen. Another pshat is, Amen me'ish zeh, Amen me'ish acher. Once the husband is causing his wife to swear that she was faithful to him, he can say, not only do I want you to swear that you were faithful to me and you did not have a relationship with You didn't have relations with the man that I warned you not to go into hiding with, but also even another man who I may not even be aware of, that you did not have relations with him either. And she accepts this and says amen to both of these shvuos. And then the Mishnah now introduces what we know throughout Shas as Gilgul Shvua. Gilgul Shvua means that if I have a taina, I have a claim against you which makes you swear to me, once you're already swearing to me, I can also include in that shvua, by the way, I want you to swear on this other claim. The other claim did not have the power alone to make you swear, but once you're already swearing because of A, I can roll over, I can give megalgal onto shvua A, that you should also swear on my claim concerning B. And where do we learn this from? We learn it from a sota. How do we learn it from a sota? Because amen, amen not only means Allah and Shvua, and not only means Misha and also Mishacher, but it also means an Arusa and a Nesua. In the times of the Gemara, a chosin would give the Kala Kesev, Kedushin, or Shavik Kesev, and he would be Makadisher, he would be Ma'ariser, and she would remain an Arusa, a Mekudeshes, she would remain engaged, but not our type of engagement that has no halachic status in terms of the Kala being a total Eshesish or in many halachas like a married woman. The Arusa, the engaged girl in the time of the Gemara, was called a Naira or Marasa, and just like if an Eshesish after the Nesuin, if she committed znus, she would be chayv chenik. The naira marasa was also chayv misa if she committed znus, and the misa was different. It was skila, but she, which was even a more chomer misa than chenik. But she already had halachas of being married to the chosin. The actual nesuin took place a year after the erison. The halach is, as we're going to see further in the Mishnah on Daf Chaf Gimel Amud Beis, that the whole din of Saita is only by a Nesua, not by an Arusa. There is no halacha of the Mei Sota, the whole parsha of Saita, by an Arusa. But if he's already making her swear because of Nesua, when there was Kinei Ustira as a Nesua, he can megalgal, he can roll over that, as the Mishnah continues, Amen, Shaloi Satisi Arusa, I was not unfaithful when I was an Arusa. Unesua, now that I'm swearing anyway on the Nesua, I'm also going to swear that I was faithful when I was an Arusa. And so too, as we turn to Daf, Yud Ches Amud Beis, Ushemeres Yavim Uchnusa, as Rashi explains, the term Shemeres Yavim, as we had in Mesechti Yavamis, Rashi on the second line of the Amud explains, at the end of the line, Shemeres Yavim Mitzape Umamtenis, that he should do Yivim, like Yaakov, who was waiting to see what would happen with the dreams of Yosef. So the word Shemeres Yavim means a woman who lost her husband. She didn't have any children, and she's waiting for the brother of the deceased to make Yibim with her. Once he has done the Yibim, then she has the term of being a Knusa. He has brought her in. While she's a Yavim, as the Gemara will discuss later on the Yomid, there is a losase of losia eishes hamesh hachutzo leizor, that she is not allowed to have relations with any stranger. So after Knusa, after he has done Yibim, and she became a Sota, he can make her swear, the Yavim can make the Yavama swear that she was faithful, and once he's making her swear that she was faithful, he can also be megalgal that even at the time of Shemeres Yavam, where normally she would not be chayv eshrua as a sota, once he's doing it at the time of Knus, he can be megalgal Shemeres Yavam, just like an Asua can be megalgal by an Arusa, so too the Knusa by Yavam can be megalgal the Shemeres Yavam. And now the Mishnah does a strange thing. The Mishnah goes back to what it interpreted the first Amen. The first way we understood Amen, Amen on Amen Aleph in the Mishnah was Amen ala Allah, Amen ala Shua. an amen both on the curse and on the shvuah that she was faithful. And now the Gemara explains what that means. What we meant on Amud Aleph, instead of the Mishnah, rather, instead of the Mishnah explaining it right away, for some reason they waited till the end and explained it now. But what we meant was Amen Allah Allah, Amen Allah Shvua meant Amen Shalainet Mesi. That it refers to the Shvua. I make a Shvua that I was not Tamei, as the Saita. The Imnit Mesi Yavayubi, and that's the Amen on the Allah, that I accept the terms that if I was Tamei, that the water should go in and do their harmful thing. Rav Meir says, you know what Amen means? Amen Shalainet Mesi. Amen that I was not in the past Tamei. Amen Shalayetme. And also Amen that I will not become Tomei in the future, as the Gemara is going to explain. Not that the water, if she does become Tomei in the future, not that the water is going to work right away, but the water will stay in her system, and if at a future point she will be unfaithful to her husband, then the water will gurgle up in her throat and will do its destructive thing that it has to do. Hakol Shavin, says the Mishnah, everyone agrees there is no machlokes she'ein masnima loy al kodem shetes aris, that he cannot be megalgal, he cannot make a condition with her, that the shvuah should be chal on anything she did before erisin. He can only do from erisin to nesuin, but not from pre-erisin. And now we'll do the Bach's first girsa. He brings two girsois. We'll do the first one in ois aleph, around the seven lines down in the Bach, Veloy al Acher Shetizgarish Vetisoser Laechod Vetitame Vachayachsi Rena Loy Hoya Masni Ma. We know that there is a din of Master Grushasai, that somebody cannot take back his wife that he has been Megarish if she has married someone else. But he is allowed to take her back if she had relations with someone else. She was Mizanen, not married to that other person. So the halacha is that once he takes her back the second time, he cannot be megalgal on her. Make a shvuah that you didn't have any relations with anyone between the first marriage and the second marriage. That was lo yoyo masna imo. And the Mishnah explains the reason why these two cases, kaidem erisin and whether she had relations with someone between the first marriage to her husband and when he took her back the second time, that in-between period, he could not be megalgal. Ze haklal, the reason is, this is the reason, this is the rule, kol shetibo v'loy hois asur loy. Even if it was true that she was mezana before the erison, or even if it was true that she was mezana between the first marriage and the second time she remarried her husband, she would not become usher to her husband through that bia. So therefore, loy hoya masnima, on that he was not able to be megalgal, he was not able to make the gilgul shvuah, and on that she does not make a shvuah, she only makes a shvuah, for example, by an asua and be megalgal arusa, or by knusa, by yavam, and be megalgal shemeres yavam, because then, in fact, if she committed znus at that time, which you are trying to roll over the time of, for example, arusa, if she committed znus, a nairam rasas chayv skila, she's usher to her husband. So that I can roll over. A shemeres yavam, there's a lav, like see, I may shechutzul zor, so that I can roll over, which we're going to speak about immediately in the Gemara. But there has to be a time where she would be usher to her husband. If that time is usher to her husband, then even though that time by itself cannot make a shvuah, I can be megalgalit once she's swearing already. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Nuna, said Rav Nuna, it must be from our mission. We see that Shemeres Yavam Shizinsa, that Shemeres Yavam that committed Zinus, Asur Liyavma, it's usher to be miyabmer. If she was over on Lysia Meis, Hachutzalizor, if she's waiting for her yavm as a Shemeres yavm to see if he's going to do yavm with her, if at that time she committed znus, it must be that it's usher to be miyabmer. Mimai, from where do I see this? Midik Tani, since it says in the Mishnah, Shemeres yavm uknusa, that is Shemeres yavm and a knusa. Once he's making her swear that she was faithful after he was miyabim her. He can be megalgal to the period of Shemer Shiavim, Iyamrit Bishlam Asira, if you say that a Shemer Shiavim that committed Znus is usher to make Yibim with her, Mishum Hachim Asna Bada. That's why he can be Megalgal, the period of Shemer Shiavim, onto the period of post Yibim. Eli Amrit Loya Sira. If you're going to say at the time of Shemer Shiavim she does not become usher to make Yibim with her, even if she committed Znus at that time, Hechim Asna Bada, how can he be Megalgal? What now we learned in our Mishnah, at the end of the Mishnah, Zeaklal, this is the rule, Kol She'ilu Tibol, Veloite Asuraloi, if it is true even that she was Mezana, but that Znus would not make her usher Loy Hayamasnimo. He could not make a Gilgal Shvuah on that period of time. That's why, Kodem Erison, even if it's true that she was Mezana with that man, she would not become Usser to him, therefore he cannot make Gilgal. And here it says you could make Gilgal from Shemeres Yavim onto Knusa. Must be that Shemeres Yavim is Usser to make Yibim, and that's why any period that if she committed Znus would be Usser, I can be Megalgal. A tremendous riot from our Mishnah. But Amri Marava, in Marava, in Eretz Yisrael, they said, less Hilchas like Rav Amnuna. The Halacha is not like Rav Amnuna. According to the Chachamim, the way we paskin, a Shemer Shiavim is only a lav, and a lav would not make her usher, even if she was over the lav, would not make her usher on the Yavim. Would not make her usher, Elaha Diktani, that which we learned in our Mishnah, which you brought a tremendous raya, Rav Amnuna, that Shemeres Yavim Knusa, that there is a problem, and therefore he could be Megalgal, and if she was Mezana, she would have been Asur on the Yavim to make Yibim, and therefore you can be Megalgal. Hamani Rebbe Kivi, that's going according to Rebbe Kiva, the Amari and Kedushin Taifas and Mechai V'Lavin. Umash V'Lakeir, Rebbe Kiva holds that Kedushin are not Taifas and Mechai V'Lavin. The Rabbanin hold that when are Kedushin not Taifas, when do they not go into effect only if somebody made Kedushin with a Chayve Krisis, with a Chayve Misa, then Kedusha not Taifsim, then the child from such a union would be a Mamzer. However, from a Chayve Lavin, even though there's an Isser to do it, Kedushin are Tofes. And therefore, the child is not a Mamzer if Kedushin is Taifsim. So you're right, from our Mishnah you see that it must be that during the time of Shemeres Yavim, it would make her usher on her Yavim if she committed Znus. But that's why? Because it's going like Rebbe Kiva. He holds that even though it's only a lav here of Loisiyei, Shamesa Chutzalizor, and Kedushin Tais Chav Lavin, and therefore it's like an erev when the child is a mamzer, and therefore he can make Gilgal Shvuah because the rule is you can always be Megalgal from a period of time where if it's true that she was Mezana, that she would become usher on him, you can be Megalgal Shemer Shabbam onto Knusa. Now, apparently, Rav Amnuna disagrees. Rav Amnuna disagrees with my Rav and holds that even if we hold like the Chachamim, not like Rav Akiva, we hold that Kedushin is Taifas B'chai V'lavin, but yet over here, a Shemer Shiavim Shizinsu would be Asher. And Taisus in the top Taisus explains, from the Gemara in Yuvamis of Tzadik Beis Amibes, what is the Svar of Rav Amnuna? Rav Amnuna holds, you're right. Normally, according to Rabbanan and Kedushin, are Taifas B'chai V'lavin. But here, by Shemer Shiavim, it's an exception because the Lashon of the Pasuk is Loisiyah. Eishes hameis achutzalizor, so Tosfos brings that on the fourth line of the top Tosfos. Loisehei ba avaya, the word loisea means there should not be any avaya lizar. And Tosfos continues, Alma dekra mashvi lok erva, the pasuk makes her like an erva in this chayv elavin of Shemer Shiavim, the leitavsiba kedushin. Mishum dagidebe, he's connected to it as a zika. Vahav yekaru sasleishes in, so therefore, even though it's only a lav, Rav Amnuna considers it, even according to Rabbanan, who argue in Rav Akiva normally that kedushin is taifsin, but here, ain't kedushin taifsin. B'Shemeres Yavim, and that's why Rav Amnuna maintains that a Shemeres Yavim is an exception to the rule that even though it's only a Chayv Elavin, if she was Mezanish, she would be usher to the Yavim, even according to Rabbanan, and therefore you could do Gilgul Shvuah. Boy, Rabbi Yirmi had a question. Mao she yisna adam al nesuyin hari shaynim. If he married a woman two times, he was master grushasai, and then she became a site in the second marriage. Could he be megalgal the first marriage onto the second marriage, or a second question on the suye echov mau, or if he was miyabem his yevama, and then she became a saita, and now he wants to megalgal that swear to me that you did not become a, that you did not commit znus while you were married to my deceased brother. What is the din? Can you make such a gilgushu or not? Toshima, let's bring a proof from the end of the Mishnah. Zeh haklal, what is the rule? This is the rule. Kol shiti bol v'loy te'asur loy, loy hayumasni ima, that if he, she had relations, and through those relations she would not become usur to her husband, then he was not allowed to be masna with her. He could not make a gilgushua. And that's why koitim erison, he could not be megalgal. Ha asira, but let's say, if we're speaking about a situation where, if that situation is true, his wife would become usur. For example, if it's true that during the first marriage to him, she committed znus, then he is not allowed to be married to her a second time. So then he's allowed to be megalgal. Or if she committed znus with his brother before the yibam, he didn't know about it, but then she would become usher to him. If she committed znus with the first brother, she becomes usher to the second. There is no din of yibam. So since you are discussing a period of time, which if it's true that she committed znus, she would become usher to her present husband, hachinami demasna. So we see that if she would be usher at that time, you could make gilgushua shemamino. From here we see a klar raya that yes, in both of these shilas that Rav Yirmiya had, the halacha would be that gilgushua is effective. Continues the Gemara to explain the next part of the Mishnah. Ramei Roimer, you know what it means? Amin, amin, amin shloinet meisi. I make a shua that I didn't become tamei, and also that I will not become tamei. Tanya, we learned number I said, loike sham Ramei amin shloi etma. It doesn't mean when Ramei said that I swear that I will not become tamei. Sheim titma. That if I become tamei, mayim boit kumay sa, that the water will go into effect. May achshav, that if in 5 years she'll become tamei, the water will go into effect right now. Ella, likisheti tamei. When in 5 years she becomes chashom tamei, she commits nus, then mayim aranay sa, the mayim, the water gurgles up, as Rashi explains, into her throat, and it damages her in 5 years' time. It stays within her system. It's ready at any moment to go into effect if in the future she commits nos. Uboit kanesa, and then the water will be boitiker, and if she's found to be guilty, the water will have its devastating effect. Boy, Ravashi. Ravashi had a question. Maushe yisne adam on the suin no achrayinim. Can a person now, when he's married to her the first time, be megalgal, that you should swear to me that you won't become tamei if I divorce you and remarry you a second time? What's the shaila here? Do I say, hashta mi eloi asirle, that right now she is not, would not become usher to him because right now he didn't divorce her and remarry her? It's a hypothetical question. It's not negea for right now what would happen in the future if he would divorce her. Right now, she is not usher to him because they're not married a second time. Oy dilmo, since zimnin de megar, so since sometimes it could happen that he divorces her, and the same woman that he divorced, vahadar mahadar law, it does happen that he will take back the wife that he divorced. So memela, we could consider it, since it's conceivable that this happens, it could be considered that if later she would become osertim, that is called a zman of her becoming osertim, and the gilgushua would go into effect. Toshima, come in here. Hakol shavin, we said in our mission, everyone agrees, shaloi hayamasnimo loy al kaidim shetis aretz, that you do not make a gilgushua, you do not make a condition with her concerning before the erison. V'loy alachish shetis garej, as the bachir is garej, v'tister, le'echod, v'titame, v'achar kach achzirano, you don't do it for in between the two marriages. Loy hayamasna, continues the Gemara, that he didn't do. Ho yachzirano v'titame. But if you would take her back and she would become tamei, hachenami demasni. It seems only if in the future there would be a period of time only if there is a period of time where that period of time does not make her usur. But if we're talking about it, it's even in the future. But if in the future that period of time, if it's true that she was mizana, it would make her usur. So it's mashma that would go into Gilgul Shua Shema Minah, that he could make such a Gilgul Shua. Tan Rabbanan, we have learned, Zois Taras HaKanois, this is the Torah of the Sota, of the jealousies, that it says in Beloshin Rabim, Malabe, this teaches Asha Isha, that a woman, Shaisa Vishayna, Tanakama holds, that a woman can drink once the Mamorim, and even if she's found innocent the first time, if a second opportunity happens again for her to be tested with the Mesaita, she could drink it twice in her lifetime. Rabbi Yehuda says, you're learning that from Kanois, because Kanois is plural. I learn, it says, Zois Taras HaKanois. Zois Ainu Isha Shaisa Vishayna. Only this time, one time, she doesn't do it twice. I'm Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda said, Maisa, there's a story. The Heiluf, and then Nechunya, Chai Fasichan, then Nechunya, who used to dig ditches. He was a ditch digger, as Rashi says, the third last line, Lo'irulei Regolim Besodas Bedrachim, on the way, as the other Regolim were coming to the base of Mikdash, he would dig ditches so that they could get well water, and he was Me'ita Shoaisha Shoisa Vishayna, that a woman could drink the Me'amorim twice. Viki Bal Nuedu, say we accepted his testimony, Bishnei Anoshim, that he was speaking about a case where she was married to two husbands, and each husband suspected her and brought her as a sota to drink the Mei Hamorim, then it could happen that she could drink twice. Avaloi Bishachot. But if it's one husband who's accusing her two times, she would not drink. That is the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda, because it says Zois, she doesn't drink twice. A third sheet that we have is Einu Isha Shreis of Hashayna, Bein Bishachot, Bein Beis Anoshim, that a woman does not drink twice, whether it is with one husband or whether it is with two husbands. So we have here three sheets. Tanakama holds that a woman, it seems to be across the board, is always Shreis of Hashayna. Rabbi Yehuda holds it's a chilek, if it's one husband, then she's not Shreis of Hashayna. If it's two husbands, she is Shreis of Hashayna. According to the last Shita, she is never Shreis of Hashayna, whether it's one husband or two husbands. Frag the Gemara, V'tanekama nam yoksiv zois, V'tanekama, who says that you learn it out from kanois, from plural, but it does say zois, which seems to be that she only does it once, only this time. And Rabban Basroi, who says she never drinks, Rabban Basroi nami yoksif toiras, as Rashi explains that toiras sakanois is a ribui. This is the toiras sakanois, which is a marbet. So from Zois, we have a miut. From Taurus HaKanois, we have a ribui. So what do the Rabbanim Basroi do with the ribui? Amar Rava. So Rava explains the three-way machloikis and how each shita learns it from the ribui and the miut. We do have a viable ribui of Taurus HaKanois. We do have a viable miut of Zois. So it goes as follows. If it's one man and he accuses his wife two times that she was a sota with the same boyel, the same potential person that she went into hiding with. So then the din is, no, ain't ish yishayis v'shayna, everybody holds like that. Why? There's a miyad zois. B'shnei anashim v'shnei boyelim, if we're speaking about two husbands, and each husband suspects this woman who was married twice, each time she suspected that she went into hiding with a different man, and she is suspected by a different husband, the Kuliyama Lepulika Deisha Shaisa Vishayna. Then everybody holds that the woman is Shaisa Vishayna, the Sif Tyrus, because we have that ribui of Tyrus. Ki Pligi, when is there Machloikis? In those two extreme cases, we have no Machloikis. Zois is Mamayd, one husband, one boil. Tyrus is Marba, two husbands, two boyalim. When is there a machloikis? In the two other cases, which are not the extreme cases. Ki pligi be'ish echad v'shnei boyalim. When you have one husband with two potential people that she had an illicit relationship with, or b'shnei anashim, two husbands, two boyal echad, the same person that she may have done znus with. So here goes the three shitas. Tanakamber, Sover, Tyrus. The main word is Tyrus, the Rebuy Kulei. all cases were marba, but I do have a zois, so zois is only memayit, the most extreme case, lamute ish echad boil echad. If it's the same husband and the same boil, and we already found her innocent one time with this husband and with this boil, then a second time, same husband, same boil, she would not drink. So in the other three cases were marba, and in this one extreme case, we are memayit because of a zois. Rabbanu Basroi Savri. The Rabbanu Basroi holds that you are always, you do not drink twice. They go that the main word is zois, lemutekuli. That all the cases is memayet with zois, except for one case. Tairas lerabuye will use the word tair to go to the extreme other case. Shnei anash or shnei boyalim. If you're speaking about two separate husbands and two separate boyalin, so there, that's the only case where tairas is marba. In all the other three cases, one husband, one boyal. One husband, two boyalim, or two husbands and one boil, all those three cases, zois will be memayet that she is not choyzer v'shoysa. She's only choyzer v'shoysa by shnei anash v'shnei boyalim. Rabbi Yehuda has a middle opinion. Zois lemute tarti. There are four cases altogether. So zois will exclude two cases. Tairas l'rabois tarti, that will be marba, two cases. And now he explains which two cases are marba and which two cases were remite. Zois l'muti tarti, zois will remite two cases. That will be A, the most extreme case of ish echad u'boyal echad. It will also be remite ish echad u'shnei boyalim. We'll soon see in Rashi why. One man with two boyalim will be a miyut. Tairas l'rabuye Tarti will also be marba two cases. Shnei anashim u'boyalecha, two people with the same boil, and shnei anashim u'shnei boyalim, and two husbands with two boyalim. So Rashi explains that Rabbi Yehuda holds, since zois and toiras, one is a valid miut, one is a valid ribui, and they're equal to each other. We don't give more power to one word than the other, as the first two shitas hold. And there's the Tanakhama and the Rabbanu Basroi. One gives precedent to Zois, one gives precedent to Tyrus. According to Rabbi Yehuda, there's no precedent. There's no one word is stronger than the other. So Mela, I have four cases. I say Zois is Memayetu, and Tyrus is Marbetu. So the simple one, that Zois is Memayet, is one husband and one boil. But the Chachamim was given over to the Chachamim, says Rashi, to figure out which should be the other one that's Nismayit and which should be the other one that's Nisrabe. So it's Mistavra that if it's the same husband, even if it's two separate Boyalim, that's also Nismayit. Why? Rashi says, four lines from the end of the Rashi before the new Perek, that Kivon, the Kinoa Kvar, Vinimtsas Nakia, Nira Hadov Shadim Kantaranhu, Umischavin Laknito, Hilkuk Loishnami Shadrishan, Veloishnami Acher. In other words, since it's the same husband, and we already found that she was innocent with the first accusation, so we get the impression that this is someone who's just trying to chepa his wife. He wants to bother his wife. He wants to make trouble for his wife. So therefore, we don't take him seriously. And whether it's the same boil twice, or whether it's even two separate boyalid, we're going to use zois to be mamayit. She ain't kin if it's two husbands. So certainly, Tyrus is marba, two husbands and two boyalim, that the same woman should drink twice. But even if it's the two husbands with the same potential boil, but since neither husband has a reputation that he's done this once before, and that we should suspect that he's just trying to chep his wife, so here the Chachamim figured out that this would be the right case, that we should be marba from Tairas, that in fact she will be Chayzer Vishaisa. That's how Rabbi Yehuda comes to this conclusion, which two cases were marba, and which two cases we are memayit, and memayla comes out, as the Gemara explains, we have a three-way machlekes. And for those who have finished the first parak of Masechta Saita, second parak of Masechta Saita of Hayamevi, Hadrin Aloch Hayamevi, Hadrin Aloch Hayamevi, Hadrin Aloch Hayamevi.